event space in esports has really taken a hard hit with COVID. In July recently, there was a captain of one of the teams, I'm not sure exactly remember the name which team it was, but in the Call of Duty League, his system got unplugged. Like, he was playing from home, his system got unplugged, and his team ended up losing the match. That's a problem, because how do we, you know,
I think for that you have to be careful.
Well, you have to be careful, but you know, we talk about the gambling world trying to get into the, you know, betting on esports and now building that reputation. Esports is it's the integrity issue. Was that done on purpose? Was that, you know, something that you know, he did to throw the match? You know, when professional gamers are playing in their own space at home because of COVID, this can cause problems.
Yeah, that's true.
In regards to integrity. So what I was reading recently, and I guess this brings us into our first article, sort of. Well, actually, no.
We can skip around.
Yeah, we can. But what I was saying is that in esports anyway, there's an issue in regards to like integrity, and that's what the Esports Integrity Coalition stands for. It's the one that's at run out of London with Ian Smith. The physical event space has been, as everybody's knows, has been hit very hard. BlizzCon has been canceled. E3 was.
BlizzCon just announced that they're doing digital.
Right, they're going to do it digital in 2021. It's going to be interesting to see what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
But overall, you're now having an issue with, like, how do they watch the and man these players to make sure that they're not cheating, throwing matches, etc., stuff like that. And in the article, I think it was the same article, or may have been a different article I was reading today, that they're going to start now having bubble spaces. Well, it's COVID bubble spaces. So, like, they're protecting all of the players. And the two locations that they're going to actually have physical esport events, of course, no fans, just the players themselves. It's similar to what they're doing now with the National League Football League and professional sports. So they're going to have the players in, you know, quarantine so that they don't get sick.
Wow, that's interesting.
And all they're going to do is just have an entire season in two locations. They're actually talking about Dallas and Las Vegas.
Completely quarantined so they could do it physical?
Right.
And that is because of, like, an integrity issue of problems that can go on at home?
Exactly.
So everybody's on the same playing field. That makes sense, because you could even have different internet in different areas, especially in the United States as opposed to other countries.
Well, if you look about what's going on with the integrity issue and people betting big money on esports now, I mean, it had a 40% uptick when they canceled all conventional sports back in the quarantine, you know, earlier in the year. So if that's going to continue and COVID is still an issue of shutdown, esports has to do something like that if they're going to survive.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, you know, and I brought this up, and I brought this up on our podcast many times about how I thought esports was a bubble. And in a lot of ways, the direction that they were going with the real push to physical esports, in my opinion, wasn't exactly the best direction. All that investment money going into building esport arenas and stuff like that, it was premature.
Yeah.
And because of COVID, it's the perfect, you know, thing. It's kind of like a mix of the perfect storm that created a situation where there are a lot of people getting laid off that are involved in the physical space in esports. So esports has a bright future, but I still believe it's got
a long way to go. It's still,
you know,
so infant.
Like, does, it's always like you got to learn from your failures, and it looks like there were some major setbacks in the esports world, but it's going to move forward regardless nonetheless. But you wanted, it's brought us to the Microsoft acquiring Quake, Doom, and then some of these other
Yeah, so the company that they just bought for $7.5 billion, which is, I believe, more than, like, Disney paid for something. I forget what the actual thing was. But the company is called ZeniMax, and it's, like, the father company or the parent company of Bethesda and like all the game studios that make,
Right.
like you said, Doom, Fallout, Elder Scrolls, Dishonored, like huge, huge, huge win for Microsoft. Expensive, but hopefully they don't destroy it.
7 billion.
7.5 billion
7.5, but guess you know what they paid for
in
Minecraft?
cash. How much?
Same.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, Minecraft was the best thing they ever bought.
Well, guess what? It's funny that they do it now, because what they tried to do, the reason why they actually made the move when they did, they actually bought Minecraft around the same time of the year. It's a money dump for tax purposes.
That makes sense.
It's a money dump for tax purposes. So it makes sense because it's, you'll see a lot of this going on now toward the end of the year, especially it's like with the market, that market dove today. It's like 600 points.
Yeah.
And some of these newer, when you're the new kids on the block, and esports is the new kids on the block from
Yes.
the business perspective, you're gonna get the shit kicked out of you. Let's just put it that way. So in a lot of ways, it's like, they're ripe for the picking. And a company like Bethesda, I'm hoping Microsoft can take games like Doom and Quake, and really just put some life back into them
Yeah.
and ma make them
Well,
major esport titles.
I wonder if Doom could be an esport title. I mean, it does have online, but
Well, that's why it's funny, because that's why I wanted
I
to
don't
invite.
know. This was more like, yeah, continue.
I invited Jonathan Wendle, Fatality, who was a professional Quake player back in the day,
Yeah.
in early 2000. I wanted to get his opinion on this buyout. But, a lot of the things happen. Microsoft also bought that platform. What was it to compete against Twitch? Look what happened there.
Mixer. It was Beam
Mixer.
before that.
Right, so
They
Mixer
bought
came
lots of
first.
stuff. They even bought Rare, and like the only thing they came out with was Sea of Thieves, and it wasn't as good or like as popular long term as they wanted it to be. So that's why people are a little bit weary about this. But as an
When
industry
you're a
move,
company
Xbox
like,
is moving away from consoles, and they just want to be games. I
oh, for
guarantee
sure.
it's software. They're over the console game, I think.
But everyone always questions, so why did Microsoft make this move? Well, Microsoft makes moves because they can. I
Yeah,
mean,
they
they
try
have.
different things out. They could just throw it away if they want.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, oh, it's only $7 billion, It's like more money than some third world countries make. But you know what? It's Microsoft, right? So, I mean, it's the way it is. It's kind of scary that they have that much power, but I mean, this is what happens in these situations. They're a very powerful company.
Well, they were thinking about buying TikTok too, and then Walmart just bought it.
Yeah, Walmart and Oracle.
Yeah.
But that was a good move. But you see, Oracle's also, I mean, the owner of Oracle is like worth $7 billion, something
Yeah,
crazy like that.
this whole deal.
So in any ways, I mean, Oracle and Walmart really could utilize TikTok in a lot better ways. Microsoft would just take it and then just probably just destroy it.
They would just zoom it all up.
Yeah, it would just,
That's
I don't
what,
know.
I don't know, that's why I'm scared about them grabbing this company, but maybe they'll just keep everybody and the games will be good. They've had some issues before, but we'll see.
Well,
We'll see.
Minecraft is done pretty well.
Oh yeah, Minecraft. That's because what Mojang, they have so much control over it. Microsoft doesn't have that much control over Minecraft. I know
Right.
from working there, like you couldn't do anything without Mojang like having their hands in it. They're
Yeah.
pretty
Well.
protective over it.
Yeah. Well, Mojang's out of where?
I
China?
don't know.
I don't know.
I'd have to look it up.
Well, if it's coming out
Mojang.
of Chinese, or if it's owned by Tencent, that's going to be an issue, because Tencent doesn't want to
Yeah.
relinquish any power to anybody. But I think this brings us to this Blast revamp thing.
Yeah, so this is more along the lines
So
of what, like, our typical content, but I thought it was really interesting. They're shuffling the prize money around to be more, like, balanced of an ecosystem, I guess, so that all teams can kind of, like, get more out of it. It says they're going to reduce the prize pool paid out in competitions, moving those funds into increased participation fees for teams and organizations in its tournament ecosystem. The total sum of money paid out through prizing and participation will remain unchanged.
Yeah.
So they're spreading the money around more evenly to all of the teams, which is good for the entire industry in general, because a lot of issues that pro players have is they go to these tournaments, they spend an airfare to get there, they spend time to train and all of that, and there's very little payout for smaller teams who aren't winning big competitions. Now, naturally, if you're best, you should get more money, and you're winning, so of course you should reap the benefits, but it is kind of like a thankless job to be a part of a competition and know you're not going to win, and it just kind of weeds out like amateur to pros.
Yeah, no, I think that's a very smart move. In fact, it's probably something that was probably initiated because of COVID-19.
You think so? Why is that?
Well, it's to kind of stabilize the ecosystem in a lot of ways. But then on the other hand, it's something that, you know, they may have learned to do this, which might actually benefit the esports industry as a whole, because if this is becomes a widely done, if it's a widely done process and this is the way it's working, they can make money in different ways. Like I said, the betting and wagering is increasing on esports.
Yeah.
If they start balancing their ecosystem equally and then getting all the players paid on all casting of tournaments, whether that team is the winner of that tournament, it's like everybody's getting paid. It's as mm-hmm. simple as we've talked about this. It's like the Yankees will show up on a ball field and it's just a regular game, but they're still getting paid.
Yeah.
And so that's it's always been an issue with esports up until now, and this is the first that of hearing about how the powers that be are going to spread it around to everybody in the, you know, in the space, which makes it a lot, in my mind, it makes it a lot more, almost adds like a career. So like an esports professional could say, I can be a professional esports mm-hmm. player. And then
not just rely on prize money and sponsorships.
Exactly. And not only that, but here's now a situation where publishers that are now pushing out their game in esports can make deals with like wagering platforms, DraftKings, FanDuel, and then get a percentage of the wagers on the esport players themselves.
Interesting.
And put that back into the league. So there's more money to be made. So in my mind, what I've read and what I've always seen in people's comments is everyone's always asking, well, how do you make money in esports? And the first thing everybody always says, it's sponsorships, and merchandising. But here's a situation where if you're going to take in whatever money you're getting for prize pools, but you're spreading it amongst different teams within a league, then the best thing to do at this point is now to integrate that money's coming in, but now to find other sources to make income for that league so that these players can now make even more money, build the prize pools. If you got more people wagering on a platform, there's more money being funneled in. The prize pools get bigger. Whoever gets to, so now everyone's got that stable job. They're getting their daily, weekly paycheck or every other week paycheck. But when they're actually competing, they can compete for bigger prize pools because they're wagering and stuff. And that could bring in skins and other things that can raise money. I mean, who is it? Is it World of Warcraft or one of the other games that raised enormous? I think it was Valve raised enormous amounts of money with skins, auctioning skins.
Yeah.
on their platform, they raised more money for their players. That was a very ingenious way of raising money for their prize pool. So there's a lot of things that, you know, I think COVID's helping people really look outside the box. Perfect example, I'm doing the same thing with my event, Casino Esports.
That was pretty fun, too.
Yeah, you jump into it's like I've turned the event space
into a
a video
game.
game.
So it felt like feels like an MMO, like massive multiplayer online game.
Right, and now we can network in that space. I'm working very closely with Gamer Jive. Thanks, Gamer Jive guys.
I was even doing
That's
like air tricks in it.
yeah. So it's a lot of fun, but you know, there's always though situations that happen in esports, and people should always learn. For like we talked about, Vaynerchuk talks about you make mistakes, you know, you fall on your face, and one of those situations, unfortunately, happened to someone that you and I both know. I think you met him last year at the CEC, Raul Sood,
Okay.
owner of Unicorn.
Oh, yeah. Good transition.
Yeah, so unfortunately, and this was in the news last week, and Unicorn is now, I think they've even actually taken down their site. They really, the whole company's being dismantled.
Really? I'm
Well,
checking right
because,
now.
yeah, the what happened was they did an initial coin offering for some a cryptocurrency called Unicorn Gold, and it really was to it was really investor money that was placed in trade of. I'm not sure exactly. I'm not going to say anybody did any trickery here or there was anything, but it's like investors bought into the initial coin offering, which is common practice or has been common practice
But they
in the
didn't
crypto.
go through the proper legal channels.
Right, in the crypto space, this has been a process but Unicorn did not go through the proper legal channels to legitimize this, and you know, they raised $30 million in the Unicorn Gold crypto, and now they were slapped with a penalty by the SEC for $6.1 million or something like that,
Yeah, specifically it.
which unfortunately is the entire all the assets that are left in that company. So, you know, this is a very, very big lesson. Sad lesson that I think you know everyone should look at this. Not that everyone, you know, not that you shouldn't make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes, but crypto was a very new space. Still is quite new to a lot of
I think,
people.
what was the company that's establishing their cryptocurrency in Nevada with a physical location? We talked about it, I think, on the last podcast.
Oh, was it a bank?
Was it?
I think so.
I
Like
don't
an
know.
actual physical location to
Yeah, and I guess that's what you have to go through to make sure you're official.
Well, you know,
It sounds like
there's
Unicorn went so, it's saying that they went so fast that they just kind of like skipped over everything that they needed to do. Not that it was malicious, but it just wasn't protocol.
Right. Well, again, as this is a new space, nobody knew understood the protocol. In fact,
Yeah.
the government, I think, was behind the whole crypto space. As crypto was building, not even understanding, you know, what basically the concepts of blockchain. So I think that now the government's kind of caught up to it, and you know, we're in that situation. It looks we have some questions coming in.
Oh,
Let's
neat.
see.
I'm ready.
Let's see. Okay, so Scott Tung, he said
Hi,
genetic
Scott.
algorithms are fun. Hey Scott, how are you? Ari Fox, you can't 100% guarantee network connection at home. Okay, sorry about that. I mean, most people aren't using enterprise-grade network equipment, so they don't have QoS. Well, I'm gonna have to call you, Scott, for our networking abilities. Maybe it could boost my Wi-Fi. I definitely have to get a Wi-Fi booster, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Anyway,
I think he was
so.
probably referencing what we were talking about earlier with the physical locations of esports so that everybody's on the same playing field.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like
And
he
he's right.
said, yeah. Oh, is that you think he's referring to
I think
that?
that he was referring to that. I'm assuming so by context.
I see. All right. Well, we kind of
He's
talked.
right.
Yeah, I should have checked the chats before, but
Old
whatever.
news, Scott.
We move quick on this podcast, I tell you. We're too fast. I don't know what
We're
to
new
say.
gaming news, not old
Yeah.
gaming news.
New gaming news. It's so new,
It's
it
by
didn't
the
even happen
second.
before we even got a chance to get our question. But if anybody else is listening and you'd like to write in, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Again, this is our first video chat. This is our 32nd podcast, I think.
Yes.
So we've been doing this for quite some time. But anyway, so like I said, this guy, Raul, who's actually going to be speaking at the CC.
Cool.
So unfortunately, I don't know where you go from here. I really don't. We might have to get him on the video chat and ask him, you know, where do you go from here?
Where do you go?
If your only assets are $6.1 million left, what do you do? You know, what do? You know, I think it's so funny. There's just like these two old ladies on TikTok, and they're like Italian, and they're like, "What are you gonna do? Where are you gonna go? What are you gonna do?" You know, it's one of these things. It's just like you can't. It sucks because they had a really awesome platform. Unicorn was building some really, really awesome wagering sites, really amazing peer-to-peer play.
Well, it seems like their website's still up. Do you think they can bounce back from this?
He's going to have to get some new investor money, and that might take a while. It's a complicated, like, the SEC decided to cut the roll in and said, you know what, if you're going to do this, you got to start from scratch. It's quite defeating.
Yeah, I can imagine. It literally is going from scratch. That's a lot of hard work.
Yeah, as an entrepreneur, it's going from, like, you know, building something for years and years and years, and then all of a sudden you messed up, and you're going to have to pay the price for it, unfortunately. It sucks, but, you know, that's dems to breaks as it goes.
Dems to breaks.
You know, but then here you go. Here's another company. And this is a reason why a lot of people have stayed away from the initial coin offering from cryptocurrency and blockchain, because you can get into like a lot of trouble with the SEC and government stuff like that. If you're taking money in trade for cryptocurrencies to build your company, and your books aren't straight, your papers aren't straight, your evaluation and your understanding of how to deal with that coin offering isn't correct, it could be detrimental to your business, as it was in this case.
I feel like it's like the same way that you have to sell somebody a car for at least a dollar just for the paperwork. It seems like a similar kind of idea.
Well, the SEC, if they feel that there's been foul play, they'll come in and check.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what happened here. But anyway, moving on to our final thing is the gambling expanding in the United States. Now, I just actually had a call yesterday with Blaine Grayboys. He's the CEO of Ginkgo, and he's the one that actually this article's about. And he has not gotten in the crypto space, or at least not done an ICO, an initial coin offering. And I don't think he will.
You don't think he will?
No. I mean, he actually made a comment when Raul Sood had posted on LinkedIn. He was very forthwith, Raul Sood, in admitting to his issue, admitting to the fault that he had. Posted it up on LinkedIn that his company was now in this situation. And then, Blaine, the CEO from Gameco, who just is now starting an online betting platform for esports. You know, he's partnered with Grid, and now he's partnered with this other company. It's a situation where Blaine mentioned in the comment section, because I'm friends with these guys on LinkedIn. Blaine said something like, "What do I tell my investors, you know, about what happened?" Because, you know, what it doesn't look good for Blaine.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, you know, it's like, how do I explain what happened? How do I not make the same mistake? How do I, my investors now have confidence in my platform when you had a platform and they lost confidence in yours? So, you know, everything that we do in our industry
affects everybody else.
Everything, there's a ripple effect. There's somewhat of a ripple effect.
So yes.
It's always best. And you know, everybody, I know that, you know, younger entrepreneurs, you know, people, the Gen Zs, the millennials, and me, I'm very much like this. Authenticity is very important. If you're gonna promise something, you want to deliver that something.
Yeah, you can't fluff anything up. Like, if I've learned anything from the gaming industry, is don't fluff anything more than you are.
And how often do we talk about how much fluff?
At least every other one.
There's so much bullshit out there.
Every statistic is like, how can you trust it?
Well, it's not only statistics. It's also like these brand new little companies that are starting up in esports and looking for investors. But they go out there and they spread their peacock feathers and they puff up their chest and they say, we got it going on, we're the best, da-da-da-da-da, get all this investor money, and then in 2 years, 3 years down the road, it's nothing but a paper tiger.
Yeah, and they just disappear.
Yeah, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, if you're a company and you're going through a seed round every year, getting more money from this investor, that investor, this investor, and you got, and then the investors you have are being paid off by other investors, you're not gaining anything. You're not building a business. You're just maintaining it with other people's money.
Yeah, there's like an old saying. It's like robbing Peter to pay Paul.
Exactly, and it's not any way to conduct.
You're just shuffling people's money around and not actually gaining any revenue, and that's why you burn out after like 3 years.
Right, and you know, I think I follow certain stocks. I follow certain esports stocks online, and you know, like, look what happened to Super League Gaming.
What happened to Super League Gaming?
Super League Gaming is like trading at like $2 a share. I mean, I think it opened at like 15 or something. So, you know, the angels have fallen out of the sky, you know, and that's unfortunate. But again, Super League Gaming. What was the whole basis of that company? They were doing esport tournaments in movie theaters, you know, amateur esport tournaments, mm-hmm. and starting little league esport tournaments and stuff. But then COVID, that really destroyed their business. But you know, there's a lot of positives on the horizon. I'm sure that there's going to be a turnaround. Esports again, it's proven itself. It's not going anywhere. It's going to be here for the long haul. Colleges are superly embracing.
It's blowing up in the college scene because I saw like three different articles about like collegiate leagues like partnering up with bigger titles or like being created, and that's just huge. And for like my personal company that I've been working with, Augmented Helix, there because they were hit by COVID, Helix Esports really bad because they just built their new land center in Patriots Place.
Beautiful land center up there.
Super gorgeous. So, like, to get over the COVID hump, they're, like, really going all in on education. And that's not gambling or anything, so I usually don't bring it up. But, like, that's what these land centers are having to do right now. They're having to, like, go into schools, go into colleges, and be like, hey, come to us. We have all this equipment, and it's a weird time, so we're open for you.
Yeah, I'm gonna make a prediction here.
Okay.
And, you know, I'm not going to say that I can say this for sure or not, but the fact that colleges are embracing esports as such a large way now, it's really caught on in the college levels. You're going to see probably 50 to 60% growth year after quarter after quarter in the esports space, more than you will on the professional side. And that's how esports is then going to develop into a legitimate type of professional sport. And I'm not saying it's not professional now, but what happened in you know, if you go back 2-3 years, the professional side came up front first. College is going to overtake that, and then the professional side is going to be held back a little, and then it's going to reverse. So college is going to be the hot topic. College esports is going to be the hottest thing.
Yeah.
Professional esports will hold itself, but it's not going to have the same kind of growth. And then after COVID, you're going to see an explosion of the college space, and that's where everyone's going to get their players from the college levels, just like they do in football.
Scouting.
Scouting is going to happen. You're going to have scouting, you're going to have agents, you're going to have all of that.
What about like March Madness kind of thing where people are like betting on esports level as well?
Oh, for sure that's going to happen. So it took a while, but we're getting to that. We're very close to that.
And even the past, like, 2 years, I think it was within the past 2 years, regular collegiate sports, didn't they just start allowing the players to be sponsored? They didn't allow that before? I don't know if I'm correct on that or not.
They did not allow that
before. And that was really recent, and I'm wondering if that'll affect, like, the players as well for esports. I'm assuming it would fall under that.
I think so. I think there's a lot of money to be made in college esports. I think a lot of colleges are opening their eyes to that. And not only that, but if they wanted it, some of them already starting programs with the esport college players are now on campus. Because some campuses did not allow students to come in to live on campus. So they were like, okay, it's COVID. You guys have to do remote learning from home. Nobody's coming to school. Dorms are empty. The only people that are coming are athletes. There's like, you could turn on the TV on Saturday afternoon, you're going to see college football. Why do you do that? Why do you see that? Because they quarantine them. It's easy to quarantine an entire football team in a college that has no one else there except the football team. Because they're not going to go to parties. They're not going to go out.
They're going to be training.
Yeah, there's nowhere to go because there's nothing to do. There's no people there. Same thing's going to happen with college esports.
That makes sense.
They're going to quarantine those players, and those players, actually, they probably end up being safer by being at the college.
Quarantined.
And also, that's going to help with integrity issues. So if the kids are on campus, now your college levels have more integrity than professional. If professional can't get their act together and get people to have those teams quarantined. I mean, they kind of quarantine in the team houses.
Yeah, they do, because they're already all there. I was thinking that when you said that they're going to start quarantining, I was like, that can't be much different than what they're used to right now.
Right. I mean, it is pretty much similar.
Because, like, as a gamer myself, like, quarantine's been easy, you know?
Yeah, but you know what? Coming and going food shopping, people coming into the house, leaving the house, girlfriends.
That's what it is, yeah.
You know, even some of these players are, like, some of them are young, they're married, whatever it is. But you know, it's going to happen. I see college as being the bigger push in the next couple quarters, next couple of years, and professional esports will follow.
Yeah.
And then it'll all come on. But so we're getting back to the gambling expanding in the United States. This is our last article. This is an article about ASCOT, which is an esport entertainment program, or is that a
Yeah, so I'll give the little rundown. So, skill-based iGaming in the United States, with the news, there is a pioneer of skill-based iGaming products, and that's Gameco. They announced their partnership with ASCOT Entertainment, who's a subsidiary of esports betting company Fans Unite Entertainment. So they're, like, a part of Fans Unite Entertainment. And as a part of the deal, they are going to be introducing the ASCOT Entertainment's esports iGaming platform, known as Chameleon, across the different regulated markets in the United States. And this includes 30 jurisdictions with over 30 licenses, or almost 30 licenses held for places including betting hotspots like Nevada and New Jersey.
Cool. Okay. Well, I know they're doing a big push in New Jersey. New Jersey's betting platforms and wagering platforms are heavily looking into esports wagering, especially in Atlantic City. So that's a big location there, and they've always led the charge. One of the House Assemblymen from New Jersey, Bill Pascrell, will be at the Casino Esports Conference, going to be talking about specifically this particular topic. And if you guys want to get tickets to the Casino Esports Conference, they're available live now at the Casino Esports, CONF.com. There's going to be a lot of influential people there. The event is Tuesday and Wednesday next week.
Yes, it is.
So Jen will be speaking. She'll be on a panel. I think you're on a couple panels, right?
I have to double check. I believe I'm at least on one.
Yeah. So we'll have a lot of people there. I don't think that, you know, we have to look at the world and say that it's very different. Things have changed a lot. But if you really look at the positive in the world, I think there's a lot of positives we could take away from the COVID-19 pandemic.
And honestly, like, your platform feels like a convention. It feels good.
Yeah.
It feels good.
I mean, you drop in
I'm
there,
not
you're...
even like, I wouldn't say anything if I didn't think it. I just would say nothing.
Well, I mean, you drop in as an avatar, you're walking around, you can private chat with people, you can walk out, you can walk into the booth spaces and have a private chat.
And you can run around and do tricks with your avatar and jump around.
Yep, and you get hats and you get like little masks. And you know, the guys at Gamer Jive put the mask thing there, but I'm like,
I put my mask on my character. I liked it.
Yeah, but it's virtual space, man. I'm like, I don't want to use a mask.
That's my look now, though. That's my new aesthetic.
Well, I did say, yeah, I gotta tell you, the mask thing to me, it's almost like I'm kind of like getting used to it.
I love it. I love being incognito.
Yeah, it's fun to be incognito, but not only that, you know what? You're gonna be healthier for it.
Yeah, definitely.
So, like, if you start going to
common cold,
like after COVID's over, I think I'm gonna still wear the mask.
I think I'm going to as well, because they do it in other countries.
Yeah. I mean,
why not? You have a cold, wear a mask.
You have a cold, wear a mask. Or you don't want to get a cold,
mm-hmm.
wear a mask. Or if you don't want to get the flu, you know, or something like that. So I don't know how people are like, everyone's like, oh, get the flu vaccine this year. Because you can get the flu and COVID now, and that would be like really really horrible.
Yeah, I bet.
I mean, you had COVID.
I did have COVID.
It sucked.
I've never had the flu, though, so I don't know how bad that is.
Yeah, I've had the flu. And trust me, it'll knock you on your ass.
Yeah, COVID was bad.
Yeah, it's bad. And the double whammy, forget it. But I don't know why people won't say, hey, just wear a mask and you won't get the flu. I don't know. But whatever. I'm going to leave that up to the...
Your personal preference. Wear a mask, exactly. Don't. We're not your dad.
Well, as usual, Jen, it was always a pleasure. I'm sorry we couldn't get Jonathan Fatality Wendell.
Sorry, next time.
We will get another play. Now that we can see each other, we'll definitely get a guest on our show in 2 weeks. I'm hoping that after we've finished this, that we can take the link on Facebook and then post it up on LinkedIn.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah. So, all right. Till next time, 2 weeks. Have a good one, Jen.
Nice seeing you. Have a good one, everybody.
Bye.